In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You often hear people, I know especially when I was a Protestant, you would hear people talking about how wonderful it would be to have been in the early church. And of course, to have had an opportunity to hear from the apostles themselves would have been certainly a great thing. But the impression you often get from people who say these kinds of things is that they think that the early church was some sort of a spiritual Disneyland where there was no problems, no difficulties. But when you read the first epistle to the Corinthians, which we've been reading on the weekdays, and we just began today to read on the Sunday lectionary, you get the distinct impression that this was a church that had a lot of problems not unlike the kinds of problems that we have today. Now, in the epistle that we heard today, it talked about the problem of factionalism, which could lead, of course, to schisms. One of the things that convinced me to become Orthodox was when I read one of St. Ignatius of Antioch's epistles, St. Ignatius of Antioch being a disciple of the Apostle John, so someone pretty hard to dismiss as a later accretion. And he said, and I'm quoting from memory, but something like, "Beware, brethren, no one who follows another into a schism will inherit the kingdom of God. No one who follows heretical doctrines is on the side of the passion." And when I read his description of the church, which he talked about each local church consisting of bishops, priests, and deacons gathered together celebrating the Eucharist, and there's the Catholic Church, he says, I came to the conclusion that I didn't belong to that church, that I belonged to one of these churches that had broken off from churches that had broken off from churches that had broken off from churches. And way back when it had a connection with that church that St. Ignatius of Antioch belonged to. But schisms are a great sin. And divisions, factionalism, these things can lead to that, and so they're also great sins. And we hear further about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, picking up where we left off last Sunday. Last Sunday we were talking about how St. Paul was admonishing the Corinthians because they were a bunch of big spiritual babies. They were still carnal and were needing to be instructed in the basics of the faith. Well, then he goes on to start talking about this sin of factionalism again as an example of them being carnal. He says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every one shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For ye are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." So St. Paul begins again talking about the sin of factionalism in the church. And he begins by first speaking about those who claimed him as their leader. And he says, who is Paul? And then he goes on to conclude that Paul isn't anything. And so if he had started off with Apollos, or if he had only mentioned Apollos or the other people who people were claiming as leaders, people might have thought, well, St. Paul is just like everybody else. He's just criticizing a different group of leaders. But he begins by criticizing those who are claiming him so that it would make it clear that he wasn't trying to just seek his own advantage in this discussion. The point that he was making was that it's not the messenger that's important, it's the message of the gospel. We all have a role to play in advancing the kingdom of God in this world. We can't do it on our own. In fact, our part is a very small one, but if we will do it relying on God's grace, he will take care of the rest. He'll grant the increase. This is true in our own spiritual lives. There's a little bit that God asks us to do, and there's a lot that he will do if we will just simply cooperate with him. But this is also true in terms of our ministry to others that are around us. We're called to labor together with God, to work with him, and to allow him to work in us and through us. And then he says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." We have one faith, which was delivered unto the saints, and it doesn't change. And if we try to change it, we're only going to bring about our own spiritual destruction and harm a lot of people around us in the process. We're called to do something with that faith, however. We don't just have the faith once delivered unto the saints and keep it under a bushel and leave it at that and say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't really have to do anything because I know God loves me and I'll be saved if I just go to church occasionally and put a couple of dollars in the offering plate. That's not how it works. We as Christians are expected to do something with the grace that God has given us. We have a foundation which has been laid by the apostles. We have to build upon that. And what we build upon that is the works that we do, whether they be good or they be evil, whether they're for the strengthening of the church or whether our works weaken it. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's works shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If our works are good, they're compared to things that can't be burned up and destroyed, gold, silver, and precious stones. However, if our works are evil, they're compared to perishable things, wood, hay, and stubble. What happens to gold, silver, or precious stones if they pass through fire? Well, they pass unharmed because they can't be harmed by fire. These things are made that are lasting. These are our works that are God-pleasing, and they last for all eternity. There's nothing that can ever change that. However, what happens when you have wood, hay, or stubble pass through a fire? Well, they don't pass unharmed. Those things are burned up and destroyed. But what are we to make of the last statement that St. Paul makes here? He says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There are some who interpret this to mean that a man may not have much of a reward in heaven if he's spent his life doing a lot of things that were not profitable for himself or for the church, but that he may be saved, so to speak, by the skin of his teeth. But many fathers, St. John Chrysostom included, say that St. Paul only means to say that the man who has done these evil works will not be annihilated like his works and perish forever. He won't be destroyed. He'll be saved from annihilation, but he'll endure the eternal punishment of fire. That's why it says, yet so as by fire. We are not asked to do outrageously difficult things in the Christian life. We're simply asked to refrain from things that in and of themselves we all know are not that difficult. And we're asked to do certain things, most of which are not all that difficult for us to do. I mean, there's obviously, if you're faced with the proposition of either to renounce Christ or to suffer torture and death, then that's another story. But in terms of our daily Christian life, where most of us fail, where most of us have difficulties, we're not asked to do extremely difficult things. So we need to take heed how we build our lives upon the foundation of the gospel. We need to make sure that our life really is lived out in a way that shows that we really believe what we say we believe, and that we believe that God is number one in our life, and we make that shine forth in our deeds. We have to truly become co-laborers with God, because in and of ourselves we can't consistently do these things. We know that from our own experience. But if we'll allow the grace of God to work in us and through us for our salvation, he will save us and he'll save those around us. Amen.